Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, we got my main man, Lee Lewis, my comic book correspondent in the house. So if y'all want to holler at us, because we're gonna talk a little comics and sci-fi for all you comic and sci-fi listeners out there. You can give us a call, 646-929-2037. It's the call number. Once again, 646-929-2037. It's the call number. Also, I know some of y'all are too shy to call, so you can email your thoughts, questions, concerns to dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you can email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and I, of course, will read your email. Or if you just so happen to be on Blog Talk, you can go into the chat room and you can post your question or comment there. Or if you just so happen to be lucky enough to be watching on Smooth Drama TV and see my face that's made for radio, you can hit me up in the chat room there also. And last but not least, you can, to keep up with what we got happening, we got something happening, maybe happening next month, just putting it out there, you can give me a text. Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, you can text Smooth Drama to the number 41411. That way, you can keep up with what we got happening, especially then going on across the country. And on that note, let me introduce my main man, Lee Lewis. What's going on, man?
I'm not too much good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, it's a lot to cover in the comic world here. First, me and you have talked comic before. Now, I want to jump into something that I saw. Of all time, you want to know who number one was?
Oh, please could tell.
Handyman from In Living Color.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Okay.
Handyman was number one. Other notable that got into the top 25 would be D.L. Hawkins from Heroes. You know, the black dude that got killed in the first season? The white?
I didn't watch the Heroes, but I think I know of it.
Yeah, well... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got killed in the first season. Meteor Man. The Autobot Jazz from Transformers.
Yeah, Robot. Yeah, Robot. That's
interesting. Yeah. Blank Man. Hong Kong Fooey. The Brown Hornet. The Black Ranger from the Power Rangers. And Morpheus from The Matrix and Frozone from The Incredibles, I guess. But the one that really, really got me, aside from Handyman, Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang?
Pootie Tang. You know the Chris Rock character?
Yeah.
With the belt and says all that nonsense there. That's terrible.
That is terrible. I mean,
yeah.
What are the really those? I mean, where's the Black Panther? At least Blade had a movie. Why can't he have one?
Well,
yeah.
The funny thing is, Blade on there, Blade is number six, but Black Panther is number 23.
What?
Yeah. The first black superhero ever is number 23. Now, I think what was bad about this is the fact that people don't think of black superhero, and they think comic books, they think, you know, of course, superheroes, whatnot. You think Superman, Spider-Man, whatnot. But the black superheroes are put into a box, sort of like we are in society as a whole. I think it's terrible. I mean, because as you know, we have in the ultimate line, there's the Black Hulk, who looks like a cross between Luke Cage and Mr. T.
Yeah.
And then you have Luke Cage, of course, who started off with the yellow shirt and the blue tights, with the chain and belt, and wore a tiara, which I can never get past. And, you know, of course, now we have Black Panther as a female. I want to ask your thoughts on that, man. I can't get around that one and why it's happening.
Around the demasculinization of Black Panther?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, I made long conversations, I think, with yourself a couple times and a couple other people heard him on, too, about that same thing. It's, you know, it's part of just, and I, you know, we love our superheroes, but, you know, we already have an established, you know, black male hero. You know,
right.
Why not create, why not give his sister a different role? Why not make her, you know, she can be a hero too, but why should she be Black Panther? You know,
right.
Why should she have to take over for him? Why can't she also be maybe a Black Panther on the side? Why does he have to be crippled and lose all his power and leave Wakanda so his sister can take over? You know, it's definitely, I think, well, it goes back to Patrick's thing. You know, it's easy for the outside to maybe see a black female character than a strong black male character. And it's less threatening.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, speaking of that, like you talked about, like the character, there's a character out there, possibly one of the strongest characters out there, Blue Marvel, that,
yeah,
that don't use at all. And his backstory is that during the civil rights movement, to help the civil rights movement, they made him stop being a superhero.
This is amazing. And here's the thing about Blue Marvel. He's a character that Marvel created, you know, after the fact, you know, in modern times. To give some nice balance and history to the flesh out Marvel universe, but then never use him again. You know, why create this character and give him, like, this, you know, amazing background, amazing story, and then just, you know, set him away wayside, never touch him again, and you never see him again. And then make his huge contradictions in how he'd react in his own origin. It just really makes little sense. It makes you think that Marvel has some kind of issue with black characters.
Well,
black men can, okay, particularly.
Well, particularly, we talk about, like, right now they have that storyline, the Chaos War, where they supposedly grab all the heavy hitters to fight against the threat against the whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
They've got everybody but two of the more powerful characters, who coincidentally are black characters, Blue Marvel and Photon, are nowhere to be seen in the books at all. You wonder why. What's the motivation behind that? And nobody talks about it. And I know people are listening and think that, you know, you're making too big of a deal out of it. But I don't think so. I think this is, we talking about, if you want to take the race off of it for a minute, we're talking about, if we suspending our belief here for a minute, that when you talk about logical storytelling in comic books, if you have a Major League galaxy level universe spanning destroying storyline, the more powerful characters would get some run regardless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for some odd reason, these characters, like you said, create the character, create a great backstory, and then just, well, they don't exist.
Yeah. And, you know, is it the question about the big super events, too? Look at the big super events for Marvel. We did, well, wasn't as big as the super events, but Annihilation and Decimation, or not Decimation, but Annihilation and Assault, Annihilation, and Conquest, and all that. They brought back characters. They brought back Quasar. They brought back long-dead characters.
Right.
I think they jumped through hoops to bring them back. But, of course, yeah, you don't see any Photon. You don't see any Blue Marvel. Blue Marvel wasn't created back then, but you can see Photon. Nowhere to be seen.
Right.
You can see, you know, I'm trying to go other ones, too. But, yeah, some people just lucked out.
Well, I mean,
bring back.
Well, I look at the latest Black Panther before he gave up his title and decided I'm going to go to New York and help New York out for some strange reason. I don't get the storyline on that, and it's another reason why I hate New York. the fact that Blue Marvel could have been used as the Black Panther's secret weapon to fight against Dr. Doom, one that he could not have scripted for. I thought that kind of made sense. But
that was a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a guy that's not doing anything, just chilling in his undersea lair, you call him and have him help you, because he got nothing better to do.
And didn't T'Challa get a bunch of the other his old allies together to fight?
He
called the Wolverine. He called in a bunch of other people.
Right.
But yeah, he didn't call in the heaviest hitters.
Right.
He called in.
You call in the people that really they can't make a dent,
mm-hmm.
and really didn't make a dent.
You know, and I understand that, you know, maybe that's the story they want to tell. Maybe they want to have characters be more defeated, more easily. But then, why not challenge yourself to write a story where you have a story where a kind of like the model or Photon can be challenged and possibly brought down for a little bit? You know, that would be an epic story when you have a character like those being challenged at the level instead of having Wolverine being challenged again by, you know, X
right.
or Thug.
Well, the fact that we have Wolverine in like 35 magazines, 35
uh-huh.
books, and Deadpool in the other 25.
Yeah.
You know, and you have characters that, you know, conceivably could do some of the same things. I mean, I can go into a character like, say, the Prowler. Shit. Date myself, Rocket Racer, old Spider-Man, misunderstood character.
Uh-huh.
They're there for the taking, for the use. But there is no use. And I was actually reading that Reginald Hudlin is coming out with the Black Panther. They're supposedly talking about the Black Panther movie. And after what's been done with the Black Panther, these latest developments, I'm like, I don't know if I necessarily want to see them even do the movie.
Well, I mean, Reginald Hudlin, I mean, you know, I mean, he couldn't pull off the cartoon. How did he pull off the movie? That's Michael, you know. So that little Black Panther cartoon will show up on BET. You know, he never got past the basically, you know, halfway animated storyboard, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, do Black Panther movie right, at least. Try. Get to a real producer. Not that he's, well, he's a real producer in a sense, but, you know, get somebody else. Let somebody else handle it.
I mean, that's kind of the problem. That's kind of the problem when you say let somebody else. It's like, who? I mean, the fact that it took Michael Bendis to actually make Luke Cage somewhat viable, even though he's still not what he should be, is kind of frightening. But what we can do, we table that conversation. We're going to go into a song break here, and then we'll be right back, and we can continue this conversation. Right now, you know, I'm going to my boy's HIFB. This is off their new album, The Weeknd. Come out and play.
Education and opportunity are here for the asking. Education and opportunity are here for the asking. And Houston rewards those who work. Houston is holding on to the traditions while welcoming the new. We're looking forward to tomorrow. And we're ready to fly. Fly.
Drive block to block, it's loud enough. The people on the street nod to the rock. Keep the windows down, surround like an intercom. Spit with a megaphone, glide over CD-ROM. Standing on top of savvy Yukon, wheels roll the ground. They come out of households like, what's that sound? 18s in the back, groundbreaking the track that kick like hacky sack. We cruise with jewels through the hood of neighbors. On the roof, rapping for your vote like the mayor. Bill White on the mic, I kill right player. Murder since glow friends and light bright player. Losing my balance, we hit the corner fast, pinky. ISD, my dogs like Winky Dinky. Shuffle they feet, the Hollywood hustle. Chase down the street, trying to catch a peak of the heat. Come out and play, come out and play. Ride all day.
Come out and play. All my people say, turn the volume up, till it's loud enough. What? Turn the volume up, till they loud enough. So come out and play. Ride all day.
A lot inside my mind. Peace of mind is on the mind, but peace of mind stay on the grind. Speak the grind, speak the street. Speak the blast and week to week. The trees speak, clouds walk. Wind blowing big hawk, big pokey, big mo. Driving fast, moving slow. Slow it down, volume down. Hello hood, look around. See them playing, see them serving, see them swerving, see them urban, see them bourbon. ISD, music, magic as an urban. Worthy to assist, man, fab, hit the brick fast. L was a strap, damn, almost hit the brick dash. Flash, flashing pictures of the hood till there's nothing left. Peace, bitch, megaphone rhymes till they out of breath. Out of plot, out of plans, out of land, I be goddamn. Hood is looking native to the south side of African. Take it back to Rebel Tracks, come on, play this song for that. ISD is here to say the weekends with your back.
Come
back
out and play.
Turn the volume up, till it's loud enough.
What?
Turn the volume up, it ain't loud enough.
Come out and play, ride all day, ride all day.
Damn, Scotty, why you spit it so atrocious? We in that FOFO, F around and get us posted. Popo's laying low in the cut to revoke this. Grand spit audio, they looking for the dopeness. It's my third strike, I'm going down and they know this. Logo on the ride, peace of mind, where a soldier? And they popped up quick, handcuffs to the wrist, masked up on my fist. Now the people looking on from the street getting pissed. Like, what the cup is this? One grabbed the megaphone, then he raised up his fist. It's looking like a public enemy rally in Brooklyn. Thinking to myself, what the hell got in the Houston. Doors coming open, windows getting broken. People rising up in the south and they've spoken. The district, we want justice. The district, load up the buses.
The district, we want justice. The district, come out and play.
Good afternoon, America. This is Bobby McSnuggle, and we're live at the scene of the weekend rally. So far, there's been a sequence of events to take place here. I'm not sure what the outcome is going to be. The people are screaming, the weekend is near. We want justice. We want justice. There's been bloodshed and hostage standoffs. We will continue to give you worldwide coverage of this horrific event. From all of us here at HISD News, I'm Bobby McSnuggle reporting to you live. To all you guys out there in TV land, can't play the rap bars till you stop playing the sample.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was HISB, Come Out and Play, off their new album, The Weeknd. Check it out. Shit is hot. Now, back to what we were talking about, Mr. Lewis.
Yes.
Now, have you had the privilege of seeing the latest Door trailer?
You know, I just watched it. Yes. Yes. It was intriguing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, looked pretty good. And a lot of the buzz was because Heimdall is being played by Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Each of The Wire fame and Luther and a whole bunch of other movies and credits that we don't got a name. Most people just know him from the guy from The Wire. You know, a lot of people. Yeah. Now, which poses an interesting question because I know Marvel has been doing that lately, and I know DC Comics has done that. Oh, so we're white, but they've changed the color on the cast. Most notably, Nick Fury, who in the movies, of course, is a black man now. Samuel Jackson, to be exact, and you know they changed him in the comic books also, and now all the latest cartoons going forward. I wanted to ask your opinion on that, what you thought about these character transformations.
Well, you know, transformations, it all depends on context for me. The Nick Fury thing, I didn't mind. I thought it was a nice change for, you know, because they based that you know, Sam Jackson's character is based off the Ultimate Fury. For those who don't know, in the Ultimate Comics line, that Marvel launched almost 10 years ago now. So, it's, you know, he's an Ultimate kind of universe Fury that kind of based it off of. So, it made sense. It's a nice reboot. The whole Thor issue, you know, although the trailer was inspired, the trailer definitely got me a little hyped on. I was holding that judgment, but I really didn't like what I see before that. But now I see where they're kind of going with it. And if they're kind of pushing the Asgardians as, you know, kind of super beyond human, not quite maybe god, but kind of techno gods, I guess.
Right.
I can see why, you know, you could have a whole rainbow coalition up in there, you know what I'm saying? I can see how it works. I mean, I did see, I think, an Asian dude, too, in Asgardian gear, too, so I think they're maybe, you know, definitely mixing it up. More than this stuff talking, you know, it's
other. Well, I was going to say, I think that it, as far as the mythology goes, to me, it would only make sense that the gods would be, quote unquote, multicultural per se, because in the actual mythology mythos, the sky gods were quoted as guys who would just go around and have sex with fair maidens all over the world.
I guess that makes sense.
So you yeah, it'd be a lot of different gods, quote unquote demigods, walking around because Sky God was filling it that century.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, especially when you're dealing with creation myth and all that, and that explain the different races in the world, you know, even though it's a Nordic, you know, mythology that explains why you have, you know, Dr. Alaska and other people that are different than yourself, is that the gods are mixed, and that explains a lot. So, you know, I get it, and I can see it, and I think it's definitely more inclusive as the movie goes, and, you know, they're getting good actors, you know, at least to play these characters and not trying to, you know, fill the roles of, you know, anybody can do an accent or, you know, get people that actually can do stuff and have some presence.
Well,
that's liable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see what the movie does. I mean, obviously, you know, you see a trailer and think that a movie is going to be great, but it ends up just you've seen all the good parts in the trailer.
Yeah, that's happened a couple times last year already for me. So, yeah, I'm still, you know, I'm more encouraged than I was when I originally first saw images of some of the four movies like that than I was then. I'm more encouraged now seeing the trailer. But then, you know, it still could be another Daredevil, you know, or you know.
Wow.
You don't think so?
Daredevil, Elektra. Who?
Catwoman.
No.
The Hal Barry.
Yeah. I forgot about that one.
For the best.
Yeah, that was, well, hell, Superman Returns, for that matter.
Yeah. That's the one movie actually I got up and took a break and had to use the bathroom. I was like, I didn't feel like I missed anything. I didn't miss anything.
I watched it like twice because I kept falling asleep and I didn't understand where they were going with it. Like, okay, he left for 5 years just because, and he had a baby, and he was just chilling with that. I mean, since we are on DC Comics, you know, as you know, DC Comics bought out the Milestone characters, and of course, we thought that they were going to make use of the Milestone characters, but I mean, we've seen only a little sprinkling, and obviously, you're a little bit closer to the comics than I am. So I was going to ask you the different direction. What directions in the comics, the comic companies, do you see positive and negative?
Well, you know, since we're on DC, I think they're doing a lot of positive things. I know that definitely. I know people aren't really happy that, you know, they bought up Milestone, and they, you know, made a big issue of bringing them back last year, the year before. And, you know, we're bringing them to a regular DC universe, but, you know, haven't done much with them besides maybe Static Shock is on the Teen Titans and maybe one storyline with JLA. And, you know, I see, you know, definitely want to see more of those characters. The fans want to see more. But, you know, I can't hate on DC because they're really doing a lot, you know, all around. And I think after, you know, listening to DC, you know, kind of listening to what Daniel Dio and Jim Lee, the co-editors-in-chief of DC are doing, I think they're definitely trying to sculpt the DC universe around their main storylines and trying to get characters where they can fit them in, but not trying to shoehorn them in. So they're not trying to know to be as fast as possible. So, you know, maybe they couldn't get Milestone in as much as they'd like, but I think that it's still, you know, a priority for them, you know, and I think that's the positive. I see a lot of great signs for DC when it comes to, you know, seeing a lot of positive, you know, black and other, you know, minority characters in their books. Right on the regular, you know, I mean, you get, you know, Mr. Terrific had a massive run in JSA, and then later on was in Checkmate and a bunch of other stuff, and, you know, they gave him some kick-ass abilities, you know, the name True, you know, on par with Bruce Wayne and Batman and, bunch of other kind of heavy hitters from DC as far as, you know, mythical creativity and just cool powers. So DC's doing some really good stuff. Marvel, on the other hand, you know, I don't know if they have a master plan for editing. It's kind of basically they seem to be guessing more about the money when it comes to how a character fits into their plans. You know, they may get one good person and you know, let's take Black Panther again for a great example. They had a good thing going with the old Black Panther back with Priest.
Right.
Book. And, you know, they let that go and, you know, brought in Coughlin. And from there, the book's been downhill. I mean, the fans haven't been, you know, the response that I've seen has been, it's been, you know, sometimes, you know, great. You had a nice offer combo or a decent story here and there, but overall, it's on the clock. People aren't excited. Marvel TV milking those characters for, you know, for profit. I mean, you know, with the character like Black Panther, why do you need to milk them with, you know, with a marriage with destroying this country. Why not be part of the story?
Right. Now, I know we talked Black Panther to death. Folks probably like, why are y'all still talking about Black Panther?
That's true.
The fact that Black Panther is Marvel's first black character, the king of a country, you know, is like he's a flagship character. So, you know, in nerd talk, you know, it's a big deal. Now, the character that I think just they ran into the ground when I talk about Marvel, a character that should be in the upper echelon of characters is Blade. I mean, Blade is really the comic book movie that started all this comic book movie rejuvenation. I mean, the comic book movies were retarded when you looked at that last Batman series when they had all these quote unquote stars doing the characters, and it was terrible. And then Blade comes out, and I mean, Blade 1 and 2 did what, 200-300 million off a character that was one of Marvel's worst characters ever. And
yeah,
but this character can do 200-300 million at the box office, but can't sell a comic book. And we know the reason why, because one, the stories have been terrible, and the art, oh my God, the art. No disrespect to artist Howard Chaykin, but
in the right context, in the right book, Chaykin does some decent stuff, some cool stuff even. You know, I like some of his noir stuff, you know, some of his kind of period stuff going back to the 30s, and, you know. But, yeah, a book like Blade, that's just, you know, any high-action book, that's not his forte, in my opinion.
No.
And Blade, I think, is a great example of a character that definitely, the movie made money, Marvel got happy, and decided to put some, to cash in, and made some crappy books to follow up on it. And when the book failed or didn't make as much money as they liked, they, you know, let them go. And there's another movie, you know, when another movie came out, you got a couple comic books. It was going away, no more comics. And they never, you know, committed to even really folding him in to the Marvel Universe regularly. You know, you did get him an appearance in the current Curse of Mutant storyline with the X-Men, but other than a couple Ultimate comics, Marvel Comics appearances, he has hardly been anywhere in the Marvel Universe. Just, you know, random appearances here and there.
I know they threw him into the MI-13, the British comic team, the British team over there for a few cameo appearances also. But I think it's perplexing that you have a character. I mean, nowadays everything is vampire.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't walk down the street without seeing a damn vampire or a vampire shirt or something that has something to do with somebody sucking something.
Yes.
And the fact that, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, and that's exactly it. I mean, here's a prime time for revival to Blade, even though he's down in that movie right now. Why not give him a shot? And they're not. So.
Well, I mean, they had the Blade television series on Spike, which, of course, what do they do? They cast the main character, Blade, as an ex-rapper. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Terrible. No disrespect to, I can't even think of his name, Sticky Fingers or whatever. But
if you can't think of his name, that says a lot right there.
Yeah.
They had the Blade TV show. I think I tried to watch one episode or two episodes, and I've mostly forgotten about it for good reason. But
mm-hmm.
Snipes set up a cool Blade universe, a cool pattern for Blade, you know,
just as far as personality goes, who it is, the origins, all that. Everything was there. The groundwork was there. But,
right.
You know?
Get somebody who actually can act, who actually knew how to throw an actual kick. I mean, and another case in point, you know, the Green Hornet is coming out.
Yeah.
And the main character, the Green Hornet, is played by Joe Rogan of Fear Factor.
Not Joe Rogan, it's Seth Rogan, actually.
Okay.
He's the worst, actually.
Right.
Joe Rogan does mixed martial arts. And Joe Rogan, I can probably see, you know, ask him some punches. Seth Rogan, I mean, from Pineapple Express and
well,
you know, I like some movies and all the Apatow films, but
well,
not convincing as the Green Hornet.
Well, as you know, the Kato character was Bruce Lee, the original one was.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cult classic. The guy
mm-hmm.
who is playing the sidekick is a Korean dancer.
What is he? He's a Korean? I'm not sure. I'll tell my girlfriend.
Yeah, he's a dancer.
Is he a Korean pop star?
I guess. He's well known for his dance moves.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine that.
They couldn't get a martial artist then.
I guess not. I just think, and I think that's where they go wrong with these characters and talking about movies, and then when you talk about the portrayal of characters, I mean, the portrayals are so unrealistic that it, I read a story and I'm like, really? And I think part of it, and I kind of figured this was going to happen, when Disney bought Marvel, that it would kind of go this way.
No.
That they would go from stories that were realistic and, you say, gritty or whatnot to cashing in for the money, as you aptly pointed out.
Yeah, and, you know, but the Marvel DC, the Marvel DC thing, I think a lot of people are actually speculating, and I think we'll see. We'll see more as this next year comes. It keeps going on. We'll see what Marvel has to do. What Disney has to do with Marvel. And I think one thing with the Green Hornet, that I'll defend this. I'll put that a lot of it a little bit and defend a little bit, is that Seth Rogen, I think, co-wrote the script a bit. But he's really behind him. He pushed to be the main character more than anything else, more than anybody else. So that was more on him than anything else. It's basically, I think, more, as I understand it, more of his vision than, you know, than the kind of the original theory coming back to life, which, you know, is both an action comedy rather than, you know, maybe a kick-ass action mystery movie, which I think it would be really take it seriously, to Green Hornet seriously.
Right.
And what the spirit should have been, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, I was there in San Diego at Comic-Con, the panel, when they were showing some of the scenes, and that just say the crowd was not happy.
I skipped out on that little show at Comic-Con. I felt that I had better things to do. So
yeah.
I'm not surprised they weren't happy, you know. And, you know, I'll definitely be waiting probably for DVD for that one if I even get a chance.
Yeah, I don't even know if I guess if I get the free rental.
A little streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We may have to stream that one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good to say. So I'm definitely, you know, it's another thing. The Pygmies movie, Pygmies, these great concepts, and trying to recraft them to please the mass market. When I think the mass market, or, you know, in general, are really up for some, you know, some more thoughtful, insightful movies, especially when it comes to comic superhero movies.
I'm thinking though that there's an oversaturation of the market going on now.
Well, I think
every comic book is being made into. I mean, sci-fi just picked up this comic book, The Alphas. You know, there's No Ordinary Family on ABC. Then there's The Cape that's coming now. I mean. It's starting to be everywhere. Some of it, as a comic book guy, I'm like, yeah, but at the same time, I'm like, maybe it might be too much. Well, I was going to say, comics, I like the mainstream entrance, but, you know, if everything is done for the mainstream, you kind of lose sight of the story and the imagination part, which drew us to comic books in the first place.
Well, exactly. I think that you can take some of these, some of these properties and make something that can be, get it fine to the mainstream, but not use uniqueness. Not every comic movie needs to be an action comedy. You can go darker. You can go funnier. You can go on the romance side in some comics. There's all different directions you can take these movies without making basically have them all be big blockbuster popcorn action comedy or action movies.
Well, hold on, don't say the romance. We already got the whole what's that vampire, the vampire movies.
The Twilight.
Twilight, yes. I still haven't been able to sit through and watch Twilight 1, and we're on like part 3 right now, and folks will kill you if you say something bad about Twilight. I mean, Twilight has its own convention.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it got that big.
Yes, they are that big.
Well, I'm not saying that you need to, and Twilight is, not a comic book. Well, actually, no, it has been made into graphic novels, so I will say that. But that's after the fact, after the book was published and the movie came out. And on the romance side, I'll defend myself that you can have maybe a romantic type story, maybe not necessarily a whole romance movie, but you can deal with, superheroes and life. How does a superhero deal with possibly defending his loved one or, his woman from danger? That could be a romantic story, but still have a superhero side to it. For a comic side to it. It doesn't have to be, all melodrama teen.
Yeah. Melodrama, popper, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not down with that, no. I'm just thinking of something more, a little more rounded. Even if something that's, if you look at some of the Pixar movies as well.
I know The Incredibles was done well that way. And I always thought that if they were going to do a comic book movie and you really, really, really wanted to take it there to the next level, not Watchmen, but they should have done Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come would have been awesome.
I thought that if they had done the whole Kingdom Come, Lois Lane gets killed by the Joker and all that and Magog killing the Joker and Superman withdrawing and all that other stuff, I think that would have been the movie that you could have done. And the average person could have, could have latched on to that story, because that was the story that I think that they wanted to do with Watchmen, but it was too long and drawn out and boring to do. They didn't have a depth of writing. I don't know what it was, but I thought that, if you did Kingdom Come, that's the ultimate comic book movie to be done.
And I don't know if it'll get done live action. I think it might, because there's a very good chance of getting done on the animated side, since DC's done a lot of really good animated movies.
Well, surprisingly, Marvel has done a lot, too. I mean, and I love the DC animations, the Superman, Batman, Public Enemies. Hulk vs. Thor, Hulk vs. Wolf, those have all been great animated movies. It's been very enjoyable.
Exactly. And I think we'll see maybe a lot, maybe more of those. And maybe some really key storylines will get told animated before they get, told on the big screen. just because it'll be easier to do. And also think that made movies have better chances of not, you know, being sold out at the level where you, you know, you get closer, truer, more in-depth story and
true.
You know, what I get taken down and reduced to on the big screen.
Right.
So,
yeah, I can see that. Well, I wanna as we're gonna go into a commercial break here, I wanna thank you, Lee, for coming on and talking comics with me. I hope to be able to get you to talk comics with me all the time. So maybe we can look at you coming on as a regular. You can keep me updated on the whole comic world. You can keep everybody else updated on the comic world also.
That sounds like a good idea. I think I like that. It's a good time talking with you.
All right.
Well,
I will hit you up and we'll talk about it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So thank you, Mr. Lewis, for coming on.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me. All right.
You're welcome, sir. You have a good night.
You too.
All right. That was Mr. Lee Lewis, comic book correspondent extraordinaire. And since we're being extraordinary, going to an old school classic here. I'm an old school classic kind of guy. This is Brand Nubian off their album One for All. One for All.
Yeah. One for all. It's all for one. I hear the beat of swinging orders if my name was David Ruffin. Quick to toast an MC just like an English muffin. Don't worry about a thing because the food was never fluffing. I could get it from the wax. So then I take a buffin' and I'm act. I wait until the opportune time and then I attack. But shit, I'm act. But it's a sinning, it's a sinner, so I guess I'm not a sinner. Beginners for beginners, so I guess I'm no beginner. This is how I spark it. Put money in my pocket. When it comes to having pleasure, I get hard as a rocket. MC Grand Poo coming through all the residue. The songs are main clocks, dating back to the Babaloo. My boys, I call them hot. The phones out of them jock, and I can think of many episodes I flung a Linkin Park. No, I'm not a phony, and I got a tenderoni. Left the way she is, not too fat, not too bony. Don't drink, drink, I won't sink like a tank. I knock the boots off a certain Casablanca, and I thank her. Some ass for sink, like Engelbert Humperdinck. Better yet, Dick Cavett, I got a bad habit. Similar to the girl, but she's got a habit. I think with the brain, and I wish behind the zipper. I'm living kind of good, similar to Jack Tripper. A landlord named Roper did a show at the Coma. When I'm finished with this, I'll be paid like Oprah. So if honey wants to act fly, I'll just play like Guy, and I'm
playing
stick out your thumb and hits, cause you've been cut off like a light switch. See, I'm programmed to slam with the summer, spring, or fall. Before I do a show, I get some kicks out the mall. Then I get my gear and I give Trevor a call, cause he works in the barbershop right behind the mall. Other rappers crowd around me, but you know they got dead. To put it blunt, honey, I cook the kids. So book is back off, break north, here comes the regulator. Bet you that's a fine
one for all, Brand Nubian. It's all for one, Brand Nubian.
On foul is a style, that's why you caught a clip. My suitcase is packed and I'm going on a trip to Micadelphia. I go for myself and still be slamming. The school bell is ringing and I caught somebody cramming for the test. Oh yes, my study guy was thick. I cut you with my verbal, didn't hurt you, just a nick off your face. Don't play pop to watch me and I'll blossom like a rose. And just some new clothes and I'm fresh sprayed from Rob. I'm on the phone and down the narrow. I'm the come one, come all. We about to get hectic. If my crew don't get in, then the X makes the X to the rear. I'm out of here, don't front on my brothers. I take care of them before I take care of others. The wood bats is zoomed in the 90s, it's aluminum. Stuck to the stage with a mic and I'm doing them something awful. I'm a citizen and I'm lawful. I go to hunting a ball, ripped up a leaseman's ball. I got the power to make a car stop. I get some drink from Glackens, and when the crowd slackens, I stop drinking. And then I start thinking about days in the past when Derek X was last, but now I'm on the top damn news. I was fast because I'm like that. They can't see this. Read my book, kick a case, many pieces of verses. I took the time to delete all the curses. So, mom, reach deep in your purses, and mommy, take me home and try me and do me well.
One for all. Brand Nubian, all for one, Brand Nubian. One for all, Brand Nubian,
all
for one, Brand Nubian.
Well, I rain rhymes before. You suck it up like a straw and jump on the damn floor. Cause every time I step in a jam,
man. But then girls try to turn my knob, cause I'm a heartthrob. I guess it's just a hazard that comes with the job. Cause every time I rock around, I show Jamar's intellectual. Girls wanna get sexual. Well, I guess I have to choke for being so dope. You wanna be me, but can't see me with a telescope. You seek and search, but still you can't find. You're weak and it hurts to be deaf, dumb, and blind. A supreme mind will take you out of your paralysis. I grip the mic so tight, I get chalices. And your analysis is that the Lord, which rhymes in the shape with a mic cord. I do it good cause I'm a positive black man. Eating up fuckers as if I was Pac Man. Not a dapper dance fan, say casual. To rock like the J, it comes gradual. You gotta know the ledge of why I'm dumb. And I'm saying yo, touch of freedom. Power equally with the gods, so you can build and bone your cipher. All your life, you must be true. Of the true and living God, not a mystery spook. And when you do that, do that goal, which makes a student enroll, and only then you'll prosper.
One for all, it's all for one. One for all.
Classic off their album One for All with the appropriately titled single One for All and talking All for One. Speaking of One for All and One for His Damn Self, Youth Radio found a pimp had left a note for himself. A business plan, a handwritten business plan. Whoo! And they were looking for people who traffic in, you know, in the selling of ass, for lack of a better word. Anyway, this dude wrote himself a note. This is a pimp's business plan. Kind of funny, called appropriately, Keep It Pimping. In his note, he said, going forward, he must be more serious about my money and future, and treat this pimping like it's a business. Only accept their best. Take care of my bitches more better, and find other ways to work my hoes. Internet, international featured dancers, discover holes from all over, jailhouse, small city, nationwide, got home, waiting to be discovered. And he writes, stay in high pursuit, looking for a prostitute. Because, you know, he's being a lyrical pimp here, so I guess in his notes he's writing to himself. His other goals are to attend the players' ball in Vegas. You know, that way he can be a cross country pimping and establish my name internationally. Take my game to the next level from the concrete street to executive suites. Pimp or die, Mac or cry. Play to win and plan to the end. Set up an international operation. Have five hoes on every corner. Take every hoe, make every hoe take a vow to hoeing. Yeah, and put his city on the map and establish himself as a player. That is the Pimpin' Manifesto. Yeah. Anyway, need to talk about something serious here. Anything. One, talk about one show that, because this is what people is thinking. That's the master plan. To take the pain and suffering and degradation of another individual to another level. That's his business plan. Good job, Pimpin. I hope you don't get hit by a Mack truck too softly. Oh, speaking of hitting somebody softly, in the Senate this past week, there's a vote. As you know how we talk about we want to take care, well, they say they want to take care of the people that need to be taken care of, right? That's what politicians do. Well, there was a bill that was to help the people who were the first responders to 911. As we know, if you don't know, a lot of them have had some physical issues, and their medical bills weren't taken care of. And this bill, which was supposed to be for $7.4 billion, was to help all those who helped 9/11 take care of, you know, those first responders. Of course, it didn't pass. They say it's a partisan vote. They said the $7.4 billion tag was too high. Because, you know, that's too high. Even though their tax cut for the rich and wealthy passed last week, you can't pass something to help supposed the national heroes, the people who helped during a terrorist attack. I mean, they can't be no more patriotic than that, right? They put their life on the line during a terrorist attack right here in the good old U.S. of A., but they couldn't be, they can't be helped. Their needs can't be redressed. You can redress the needs of people who don't need. They just want more. But the people who need, you can't redress them. And you know, that's the reluctance of our government, that I don't understand why people don't jump on that. You know, they talk that pork belly stuff, but you as the citizen, where are you as the voting citizen? You know, people who always jump out here talking about what we need to do. I mean, we're talking about people that save people's lives. Who's going to fight for them? Where's the media outcry? Shit, where's any kind of outcry? You know, the little story out of the blue. Nobody wants to help those who help others. Think about that for a minute. You want to help folks who don't do shit for anybody, but you can't help people who help people all the time, who are suffering because they help people. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. On that note, I want to thank my main man, Lee Lewis, my comic book correspondent, coming on and talking comics with me. I want to thank you, the listener, for listening. Yeah? I'm Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama. I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you've got smooth drama.